Does anybody believe me we're in the end times yet?
Amen.
I encourage you to look up online what I told you. We've been telling you about this. Many men and women of God have been preaching about a one world religion they're trying to push. And now you can see it with your very eyes that is exactly what their agenda is. You'd have to be completely spiritually blind to be able to recognize that sign. If you open up to the book of Revelation, I want to show you something. If you have a Bible with you. Revelation chapter 12. Before we get started, I want to pray. The Lord has been recently showing me so many things concerning what is to come that it's overwhelming to me. I'm trying to keep up with everything. Amen. That's a good thing. Let's just lift up our hands for a moment and just acknowledge the Lord. Father, we thank you for your presence in this place. We thank you for your Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. We thank you for the right words, Lord. We thank you for your anointing and your power. And Father, we bind every hindrance to the service. In Jesus' name, we bind you, Satan, from blinding our minds in any way. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, we just thank you that the blood of Jesus covers us in this place. We are safe in your presence. We thank you, Lord, that we still have freedom to preach your word in this country. And we thank you, Lord, that we have freedom to assemble together with no one to attack us at this time. We're so very careful to honor and bless you, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, for ears to hear and hearts that are open and ready to receive these truths, Father. We honor your word. We're so thankful for your word, Lord. Your word is a light to our pathway. It's a lamp to our spirits. It's a guide to those who are in the dark, Lord. We just praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, have your way in this place. Amen. Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. Does everybody have a Bible? Wave at me if you need a Bible. Everybody's got a Bible? You're just waving at me, aren't you? Verse 9, the great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil, or Satan, who, everyone read it with me. Well, let's be careful here. We might not have the same translation. Let me read it to you first. Leads the whole world astray. Everyone say it with me. Leads the whole world astray. We're talking about the devil, and that's one of his tactics, is deception. We're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. He leads the whole world astray. Hallelujah, Jesus. It's a very key verse. I would encourage you to underline it if you have a paper Bible with you. You know, the Amplified Version says, he who is the seducer, deceiver of all humanity the world over. The deceiver of all humanity. Revelation chapter 20, verse 3. Again, referring to Satan. It says, he threw this angel that sees the dragon, or the ancient serpent, who's the devil and bound him for 1,000 years, he threw him into the abyss and locked and sealed it over him to keep him from deceiving the nations. Everyone say deceiving.
Deceiving.
Everyone say led the whole world astray.
Led the whole world.
Everyone say deceiving.
Deceiving.
The nations until the 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be set free for a short time. And I'll just give you a little clue. After 1,000 years... This is how deceptive Satan is. After 1,000 years of Jesus Christ reigning as king on the earth with everyone to see him, after 1,000 years of seeing him face to face on this earth, Satan gets let loose and people still are deceived by him. Do not underestimate your enemy. Now, is there any hope, Pastor Dan? Oh yeah, the Holy Ghost. God's smarter than him, but we got to stay close to the Holy Ghost. And if we're not close, you could be deceived. I'm warning you and reminding you again. Now, verse 10 of the same chapter. And the devil who deceived them. Everyone say deceived them. Are we seeing a pattern here? Do you agree with me that we see a pattern here? A pretty good pattern that Satan's tactic is deception. Now, just a few books before this, going over to 1 John chapter 5. Just a few pages before this. 1 John chapter 5. Verse 19, we, that's us born-again, Spirit-filled believers, we know that we are children of God. Isn't that right?
Amen.
And that the whole world, this is something we also know, that the whole world, everyone say the whole world, is under the control of the evil one. Very interesting verse, isn't it? He's talking about those who are not born again. The rest of the world that's not born again is under the control of the evil one. Now I'm gonna quote a couple scriptures to you, but why don't you head on over to John chapter 8? We're gonna be going through a lot of scriptures today because we're supposed to be sticking with the Word of God. Amen. It's the Word that sets us free. John chapter 8. We're gonna be somewhere around verse 40. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 through 4 says, the God of this world, little g, it's talking about the devil. The God of this world. Not, we know that God is sovereign over all. You understand that, right? And really, God, by right of creation, this is His planet. But He's talking about the God of this world system, the people that are not born again. The God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine to them. The God of this world, in whom, it says, in whom the God of this world, in whom the God of this world has blinded their minds. So He's working within them. Ephesians says it like this. Ephesians chapter 2 says, in whom the spirit of disobedience, the spirit of disobedience is working in the children of disobedience.
Amen.
Talking about Satan over there in Ephesians 2. He says, and you as He quickened who are dead in trespasses and sins, one in time past, He walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. That's how it says it. In the children of disobedience. So He's at work in those who are not born again. But we also know from these prior verses that He also deceives people. Amen? We don't want to be deceived by Him. Now, John 8:44, Jesus speaking, said this, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding the truth, for there's no truth in him. We notice that Satan is a murderer. If you heard there was a murderer on the loose, what would you do? You put your guard up, wouldn't you? He says this, he's a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth. Everyone say truth. Very key verse here. For there is no truth in him. There is no truth in him. And the reason we say that is because 99.9% truth is still a lie, isn't it?
Amen.
And he'll mix a whole lot of what seems to be truth with a lie to try to kill, steal, and destroy, and to murder, according to what Jesus is saying here. When he lies, he speaks his native language. For he is a liar and the father of lies. Now, if you knew someone up the street was the father of lies, when you were anywhere near that person, wouldn't you have your guard up?
Amen.
You wouldn't want to be deceived by that person because apparently they're pretty good at lying, wouldn't you agree?
Amen.
Pretty good at deceiving. Pretty good at leading people astray. 1 Peter 5, 8, and 9, Peter said this, he said to be self-controlled and alert.
Amen.
Be self-controlled and alert. Now he tells you why. Because your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers and sisters around the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9. James said it like this. He says, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he'll come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Amen. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he'll lift you up. What is he saying? Produce fruit worthy of repentance. Truly repent. Don't just say, Father, forgive me, but get on your knees and get it right with God. Amen? Amen. That's how we submit to God and resist the devil so he flees from us. John chapter 10, Jesus said these words. Now we're talking about the deception of the world, and we're going to talk about some things that are going on around the world today and how high of a standard God sets on truth. I'm also going to give you keys to overcome the deception, the coming deception, I'm going to call it. There's a coming deception coming into the church that if you're not close to the Holy Ghost and you don't know what the Word says, it's going to try to suck you into it, to take you to hell. And I'm not going there, and anybody that follows me, I will do my best to see to it you don't go there, but it's your choice. Amen. If you're going to follow the coming deception or if you're going to stick to the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's why it's important to be a Spirit-filled believer in these last days. Because without the Holy Ghost's guidance, without the Holy Ghost's counsel, without the Holy Ghost's help, without Him interceding for you as you pray in the Holy Ghost, it's going to be a difficult thing to overcome the coming deception. But if you are yielded to the Holy Ghost, if you're yielded to the things of God, and you're not dabbling around in sin, and you're sticking with the Word of God, you will have what is necessary. You will have the equipment to overcome the coming deception without problem. Amen. You still may have temptations presented, but you will have your guard up, because the Holy Ghost is your guide. Amen? Amen? We need to stay close to the Holy Ghost. There's some churches out there today, they seem to be embarrassed about the Holy Ghost. In fact, some churches even believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but they treat it as if it's something, if after service somebody wants more of God, they may whisper it in their ear and take them in the back room and get them baptized and then never talk about it again. But that's not what Jesus did. He said, in my name they will speak in new tongues. Amen. We should not be embarrassed about the things of God. He said, you acknowledge me before men, I'll acknowledge you before my Father in heaven. If you disown me before men, I'll disown you before my Father in heaven. In Matthew 10:32. Now, Jesus said in John 10:9, this is a key verse if you're taking notes, I am the door. I am the door. Everyone say the door. He's talking about being the only door. There's no other way to God except through Jesus Christ. He says, I am the door. He said, by me, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And to go in, that's into spiritual life, and out of spiritual death, and find pasture. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and to go in and out and find pasture. And then the next verse, John 10:10, Jesus said, the thief, that's the devil, comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Satan comes for one reason and three different avenues. To steal, to kill, to destroy. What did Jesus say in that other verse? To murder. He's a murderer. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, but I, Jesus the Son of God, have come to give you life and life more abundantly. Amen? We can have the more abundant life if we'll just live for Jesus. Hallelujah. Whether you ever have enough faith in this earth to walk in the abundant life here, let me tell you something. You still have a wellspring of wealth living inside of you that is worth more than all the money in the world. You have eternal life inside of you if you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you're going to heaven, my friends, if you continue to live for Him. Jesus said in John 14:6, He said, I am the way. Everyone say the way. And the truth. Everyone say the truth. And the life. Everyone say the life. And he said, no one, everyone say no one.
No one.
No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, I'm telling you today, is the way, the truth, and the life. And there is no other way to God except through Jesus, the Son of God. Hallelujah. I witnessed to a Muslim the other day, and he said, one thing you need to understand, he said, we believe in Jesus. I said, yes, you believe Jesus was a prophet, but you do not believe that he was the Son of God and he's the Savior of the world. And he shut up real quick. And then he listened to me as I taught him that Jesus is the only one who lived a sinless, holy life. He is born of a Virgin Mary, incarnate, born into this planet for the sole purpose of bearing your sins. He's the only person that paid the penalty for your sins. Muhammad, Buddha, all these other false gods did not pay the penalty for your sins. And if you don't accept Him as your substitute, you will pay the penalty for your sins in hell forever. Amen. And He made sense of it. Said something to that lines. Now, there's a scripture, 1 John talks about it. If you just read through 1 John, he says it over and over. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have eternal life. He said, I write these things to you that who believe in the name of the Son of God that you may know that you have eternal life. He says it over and over. You need to believe in Jesus. Amen? We're entering into an age where Satan's deception has grown to such a level that he's working through not only religious leaders, but also trying to combine them with government leaders to cause the ultimate deception. Where he leads people to believe that we all worship the same God. I hope you heard the words I said. We do not worship the same God.
Amen.
You got it? We do not worship the same God. There is one God, and if it's not through Jesus Christ, you're worshiping some other God. The first commandment in the Old Covenant was have no other gods before me and to make no graven images.
Amen.
And that's what they do when they take Jesus out of the picture. A lot of those religions believe in Jesus. In fact, if you study into it, and I don't encourage you to do it, a lot of those believe that Jesus was a prophet similar to the prophet Moses. But they do not believe that he was the Son of God. And they will tell you straight out if you ask them. But they will push to Jesus. And the reason Satan does that through their lips is to draw you in to think that we worship the same God. But I'm here to tell you today that there is no other way to God except through Jesus Christ, the risen Savior. Amen? We need to stick to what God has said. Let me give you a reason why our God is God. There's no other book that claims that this is the Word of God.
Amen.
None of their other books claim that. But God says that hundreds and hundreds of times in this book. He says, this God said, God said this, God said that. This is what the Lord God Almighty says. This is my word. He claims it over and over to show you the authority and the authenticity that this is God's word and there is no other God.
Amen.
Amen? We need to stick with what God said. I feel very strongly about this.
Hallelujah.
If I get excited, you're going to have to bear with me.
Hallelujah.
Because there's only one God. And He's the creator of the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. And He gives life and breath to every creature. He sends rain from heaven and crops in their seasons. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy.
Hallelujah.
And He sent His Son to pay the penalty for our sins. And we need to keep that in our mind because the coming deception says this. They say that we all worship the same God. But I'm here to tell you that if they don't worship God through Jesus Christ, they have no right to God the Father. It says in Ephesians 3:12, this is a confidence we have in Him. In Him. We may approach God with freedom and confidence. In Him we may approach God with freedom and confidence. In Him. In Him. That means you're born again. You've accepted Jesus and you're now in Him. It says in Colossians chapter 3, it says, He says that we are hidden with Christ in God. We've been seated with Him. It talks about in Ephesians. We're in Christ if you're born again.
Amen.
But if you are not born again, you have no right to God. They may deceive you into thinking that, but you don't have a right to God except through Jesus. Now go on over to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John. I got you bouncing back and forth, but God gave me these scriptures in a certain order for a reason. So we can see the pattern clearly. So we're going to do it the way He wants to do it tonight.
Amen.
As we always do. Amen?
Amen?
Wouldn't have it any other way. Now, He says this in 1 John chapter 4. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit. Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Now, a lot of people use this to think it's talking about demon possession. But let me tell you something. I've cast out thousands of devils, and every single one of them will say that Jesus is the Son of God, which will cause you great confusion. What He's talking about, if you go back to verse 24 of chapter 3, you'll see he's actually talking about the human spirits. Look at verse 24 of chapter 3. He says, "Those who obey his commands live in him, and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the spirit he gave us." He's talking about the new nature, the born again spirit. And then if you continue on and forget about the chapter 4, verse 1, and just realize he's continuing along that thought, you won't get confused to think he's talking about demon spirits. Wouldn't that be silly to be talking about human spirits and then all of a sudden start to talk about demon spirits, although the human spirits that he's about to talk about are empowered by demons?
Amen.
Okay? Don't get confused. Just listen closely. Verse 1, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test." Everyone say test.
Test.
"The spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." This is you, born again believer, this is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Now it's talking about Jesus Christ coming in the flesh, not just as a prophet, but as the Son of God, is what he's talking to in context of the whole book of 1 John. You understand me? Very careful we recall the whole entire book so we don't take scriptures out of their proper setting. So he's continuing along the thought that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the Son of God. But he says here, every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. Now when he says does not acknowledge Jesus, he's not talking about acknowledge him as a prophet in context of the entire book of 1 John. He's talking about does not acknowledge him as the Son of God. Okay, got it? Now he says here, "This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world." Now this was 2,000 years ago. He said the spirit of the Antichrist was already in the world. But let me tell you something today. Every other religion that does not acknowledge that Jesus' blood was shed for our sins, that does not acknowledge that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh as the Son of God, every other religion outside of Christianity is the spirit of the Antichrist. That's what he's telling us here. And he wants to make it very clear that we need to test the spirits. And the way we test the spirits is say, do you believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God? And if they do not believe that Jesus was the Son of God, I don't care how many prophets they claim he was, how much they say they study his teachings and we believe his teachings. If they don't believe that Jesus was the actual Son of God that came down here in the flesh to pay the penalty for our sins, it is the spirit of the Antichrist, which is the anointed one who came down to pay the price for our sins. He came as a man. But he was just as much man as he was God, and just as much God as he was man. And there is no other way to the Father except through Jesus the Christ. Amen? Hallelujah, Jesus. So he tells us to test the human spirits. In other words, to see if they really believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Because if they believe that Jesus is the Son of God and they're preaching a gospel to you, you know that he's talking about the human spirit because they would be born again like you are. Test them to see if they're true believers. Because just believing in Jesus is not enough. James 2, 19 and 20 says, "You believe in one God? Good. Even the devil believes and trembles. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without deeds is dead?" And then he says in verse 26, says, "The body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead, being alone." Now, I want you to see something in 2 John. 2 John, just the next book there. Verse 11. Let's go back to verse 9. "Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ." Christ. Now when he's talking about Christ, he's talking about the teaching of Jesus being the Son of God. You understand what I'm trying to get across to you? Not a prophet. We know he was a prophet. And not a man like Moses, not a prophet like Moses, but the Son of God. If anyone does not continue in that teaching, the teaching of Christ, he does not have God. Amen? "Whoever continues in the teaching that Jesus is the Son of God has both the Father and the Son." Now we know that's contingent upon their actions, right? You understand that? We don't have to go back into that, do we? You get that. We got to live for Him. Now, look at this. If anyone comes to you, underline the verse, highlight it in your phone, whatever you got to do, go home and put it on your wall. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, the teaching that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, if anyone does not bring this teaching, do not take him into your house or welcome him. Everyone say, welcome him. Anyone who welcomes him shares in his wicked work. Let's read it again. Verse 9. We're going to go through this again because I want you to really get this in you. Some of you are thinking, why is he talking about this? I'm telling you, before it happens, there is a deception that's coming that is so subtle that it's going to suck millions of people into hell if they don't get preached the truth. And I am not going to let people go there. I'm going to keep preaching the truth. And I hope that you're with me. He said this, if anyone runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ, that's Christ being the Son of God, he does not have God. Doesn't have Him. Don't care if they believe in God. They don't have Him. Whoever continues in the teaching that Jesus is the Son of God has both the Father and the Son. He's got God. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, that if any other person in any kind of religion comes to you and says Jesus is not the Son of God, or they believe in this God, or they believe in that God, or they believe in any other God, he says, do not take him into your house or welcome. Don't even shake hands with him. Anyone who welcomes him shares in his wicked work. If there's any verse you're going to need to stand on and remember, it is this verse. I would go home if I were you. I'm telling you, the deception coming is so subtle, I would write this on your wall with a black marker. I'm not joking. 2 Corinthians 11. Go on over there. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to be going back to 1 John. I know we got you jumping back and forth, but this is not without reason. Trust me. Now, Paul was contending with these false teachers in the body of Christ throughout this entire letter of 2 Corinthians. And what had happened is between 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, the church had backslidden. And what the reason they backslid is because they went to follow teachers who were teaching a doctrine that did not have as much conviction. In response to this doctrine that they enjoyed, they were willing to give all their money. If you follow through 2 Corinthians, you'll see that's true. Paul said, I don't even want your money. But because the doctrine had no conviction, and Satan was the one behind it, making them backslide so he could draw them one step at a time back to hell, they were more than willing to give their money because they kept them stirred up in the flesh like so many preachers do today. But look at this in 2 Corinthians 11:3. He says, I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived, everyone say deceived, by the certain subtlety, everyone say subtlety, cunning, subtlety, that means it's very hard to detect. By a serpent's subtlety, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. If someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preach. So they're preaching a Jesus, but it's not the same Jesus. You see that? Or you receive a different spirit from the one you receive. So they're preaching the Spirit, but it's not the Spirit of power, the Spirit of life, the Spirit with the gifts of the Spirit. Or a different gospel from the one you accept. So they're preaching a gospel, but it's not the same gospel that Paul preached. I'm telling you, my friends, you better know what your Bible says so you know what the gospel says. Your whole Bible, not just the scriptures that make you feel warm and fuzzy. He says here, or a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it easily enough. Now, he doesn't say it so nice in Galatians. He says it like this, if anyone comes to you and preaches a different Jesus or a different spirit, he says, let them be eternally condemned. And then he says, I said it, I'm going to say it again. He says it two times. If anyone preaches to you a gospel other than the one we preach, let him be eternally condemned. He said, if we or an angel from heaven preaches a different gospel, let him be eternally condemned. Amen. That's how strong God wants us to stick to His Word. We've got to be careful now. And Exodus 23:2, There's a scripture he talks about when people are in court and people are siding in the wrong direction. He says, don't follow the crowd. I'm telling you today to not follow the crowd, because Jesus said, narrow is the way that leads to life and only a few find it. But broad is the path that leads to destruction. He said, I'm the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Wide is the gate. Broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many enter through it, but small is the door, and narrow is the path that leads to life, and only a few find it. Matthew 7:13. I'm going to read something to you I sent out in text form. You can figure out where I went with it. Now, some of you may not know this, but I told you judgment's coming on America. When I wrote those text messages and sent them out, that was by the spirit of prophecy. I don't sit around making this stuff up. I don't want to be judged that way. Amen. I am telling you that God has spoken and judgment is coming upon America, and you need to be ready. Those who are truly living for God will be able to stand and will be provided for. Those who are false will be separated. There's coming a separation of the sheep from the goats, from the men from the boys. And it's coming very quickly and rapidly, so be ready. Persecution is coming, and I'm going to tell you why as I read this short letter that the Holy Ghost showed these things to me. On September 27th, just a few days ago, this year, 2015, the last day of the four blood moons, the last blood moon, they call it a super blood moon, on that day, on that last day of the Pope Francis' journey, Pope Francis, the leader of the Catholic Church, on the last day of his journey, he made a final stop in New York, going to a meeting called Ground Zero. Everyone say Ground Zero.
Ground Zero.
This is in remembrance of 9/11. It has something to do with that. It was a united religion meeting. A united religion. Now, if anybody's ever read the Old Testament, and the same principles apply, because he says not to yoke yourself together with unbelievers. 2 Corinthians 6:14 through the end of the chapter. In the Old Testament, he said, don't even have the names of the gods on your lips. He said, don't have anything. He said, don't intermarry with the other nations. Don't have anything to do with their gods. He said, their gods will become a snare and a trap to you. Amen. And the same principles apply today. Amen. Don't hang around with those people. You can witness to them and tell them about Jesus. But if they're not willing to listen, just tell them, just say the kingdom of God is near and walk away. Just get away from them. Amen. Pray for them. They're very dangerous people. For I'm talking, they may not be dangerous violently, they may not be dangerous with guns, but they are dangerous when it comes to the unseen world of the Spirit, and when it comes to your eternal salvation, and that way they're dangerous. You know what I'm talking about. I hope I made myself clear. The Pope talked more about acceptance of homosexuals, very subtly he does this, in the family unit, which is God's Word says they cannot go to heaven. They can't. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 9 through 11, and Galatians 5, 19 through 21, he makes it very clear that that people that live in those types of sexual perversions are not going to heaven. That's what the Bible says. God loves them. He's provided salvation for them. Our doors are open. They're more than welcome to come and sit with us and learn about the Word of God, but they can't go to heaven if they continue in that lifestyle. I'm sorry. That's what the Bible says, and I believe what the Bible says. Because the Bible is the only truth in the universe. Now, the Pope talked more about the acceptance of homosexuals, and he met with many other religious leaders. Religious leaders. You can watch the video if you don't believe me. I've been telling you they're trying to push a one world religion, and he's doing it in the name of Christianity. Which means he's a false prophet according to 1 John chapter 4. And 2 John verse 11 and 10. He says we're not supposed to even greet them, or we're partaking of their wicked works. So the Pope, by doing what he did, by greeting them, by shaking hands with them, by saying we all believe in the same God, is partaking in their wicked work. He is a false prophet.
Amen.
Don't care what anybody else wants to believe about him. Don't care how beautiful he makes himself look. Don't care how many pedestals they put him on and worship him in. He is a false prophet, and you need to be on guard against that deception.
Amen.
He met with many other religious leaders. Hindu, Buddhist, Jain, I'll try to pronounce this, Sikh, Native American, Jew, Islam, all of them. pushing the one world religion agenda together in the United States. And you can confirm this. These are facts. This is not something my opinion. Satan's purpose in this, now you're all looking at the Pope, you're all looking at what's going on, but really you need to look at the spiritual force and what his intent is.
Amen.
Satan's purpose in all these religious leaders meeting together, his purpose in this is to force us true Christians into a position to be persecuted, and I'm going to tell you why. True Christians have only one religion. We are the only one religion who does not accept other religions or any other god. We don't have nothing to do with them. We're the only religion. Did you know that? All these other religions as a whole, the majority of the leading other religions of the world, you could say, they all, if you're of another religion, you could practice their religion. That's okay. As long as you accept their gods. They don't mind you add another god on your pedestal. But our religion, Christianity, doesn't accept their gods. What's so big of a deal, Pastor? I'm going to tell you. They accept many other gods. In fact, a lot of them worship thousands of gods. Satan doesn't matter how many gods you have as long as you don't have Jesus. The reason this is so significant is because it pushes us true Christians into a position to look like a hostile group. And if you'll look at some of the YouTube videos, the government already has taken note of us and is watching us to make sure we don't become hostile. And I'll tell you why. It pushes true Christians, not the fake Christians. There's plenty of fake Christians. Those are the ones that accept other gods with Jesus. Those are fakes. It pushes us true Christians who reject all other religions, who reject all other gods, into a position to look like a hostile group because we do not accept other faiths. So in their minds, we are intolerant. This is coming from the Holy Ghost, so I hope you're paying attention. Intolerant. The Bible says to even grant false religions Godspeed is to partake of their wicked work. That's that 1 John scripture, 2 John scripture we went through. Verse 11 again. Verse 10 and 11. The Bible says not even, God spoke over and over, He told them not even to have the names of these foreign gods on our lips. Don't even talk about them. That's how holy He wants us to be. God said not to associate with people who do not accept Jesus. Don't yoke yourself together with unbelievers. Now, He doesn't mind you. If you're going over to their house or something to have a meal with them, to witness to them, to be friendly with them and show them the love of God, if you're going to be an example to them, He said, you can go to a meal of an unbeliever. He said, but if they say this has been offered in sacrifice, He told you not to eat it for their conscience sake. But we do not hang around with unbelievers as friends. We hang around with them like Jesus did. You know, they said about Jesus that He's a friend of sinners. Tax collectors, look at Him. But they were not, Jesus was not a friend of sinners. He said, wisdom's proved right by her actions. In other words, that's not what I am. I'm here. I'm their doctor. They're sick. He said, the healthy does not need a doctor, but the sick. They were sick spiritually. He was their doctor to get them saved. We're not even supposed to hang around with these unbelievers. We can witness to them, but we're not supposed to hang around them because their gods become a snare and trap to us, the Bible says. Over and over, He says that. Again, in the eyes of the world, this makes us look intolerant and hostile in the light of the agenda of the one world religion which all the other people are pushing. You think I'm joking. You watch and see in the next couple months what's going to happen. I'm telling you, there is a persecution coming to America that is never seen before. So be ready. I know that doesn't sound attractive, but we are going to get an opportunity to prove if we really love Jesus. Unless the rapture happens first. Satan's purpose in the United States is to force us into a position to be persecuted. That's why he's pushing the satanic agenda of accepting all other faiths. Because he knows that it's going to push the Christians who don't believe in all these other gods. It's going to push them into a corner. Well, like a big shining light is on them, going, look at these guys over here. They're not doing this. There's something different about them. When all the other whole world is led astray to follow these other gods, it pushes us into a position to look hostile against other people and unaccepting, intolerant, and evil in their eyes. But in reality, they are evil because they're deceived. Because God is going to judge people for sins, and they don't want to hear about that God. They want to hear about the God of love and acceptance. They don't want to hear about the God that has to judge sin and needs holiness, because sin is what is causing all the problems in the world. Amen. They want us to accept the sin and think that everything's going to be okay, but God says to get rid of the sin and then everything will be okay. The Pope is doing the exact opposite of what God commands. Exact opposite. Especially by being called Father. Jesus doesn't even have anybody called Father. All their priests, they call them Father. It's all demonic influence and it's satanic. And he's doing it in the name of Christianity. Satan is pushing for peace in such a way that it sends people to hell. Love, tolerance, peace. Let's all join all the religions together. But the problem is, every single one of them that join that wicked group, if they don't repent of it, they're going to hell. And Satan knows this. It's very deceptive and very subtle. His agenda is to destroy all humanity through deception. Get ready, my friends. I have warned you dozens of times that persecution is coming to America, and it will come. I know you don't want to hear this, but he keeps on warning me to tell you to get ready. Wake up! Open up your eyes and look so that you can see the truth. 1 John chapter 2. Very quickly. 1 John chapter 2. Are you scared, Pastor Dan? Not even the least. Why would I be scared? God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and a love and a sound mind. It's a time to stand up and an opportunity that many other generations before us did not have to take a bold stand for Christ. I'm excited about it. 1 John 2:26, I am writing these... I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to, what? Lead you astray. Deceive. As for you, born again, spirit-filled believers, the anointing you received from Him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. Now, He's not talking about getting rid of us teachers. He ordained the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher for the maturing of the saints. Ephesians chapter 4. What He's talking about is you are born again, and you don't need anyone to tell you that Jesus is the Son of God. That's what he's talking about. You don't need anyone to teach you that, because but as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him. That anointing he's talking about is the Holy Ghost. That anointing is the illumination process thereby that God illuminates us to truth. Everyone say truth. It's the illumination process, the anointing. And the way you turn up the light is by praying in other tongues. But you, beloved, build up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
In the book of Jude 19 and 20. Build up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. He said that he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. That edifying means to build you up in religious empowerment. If you look it up in the Greek, to build you up in religious virtue and duty. To build you up above a realm where you could be decepted. To build you up into a place where you are safe in God's hands. And you cannot be deceived. He will build you up, but it requires you to move your lips, to roll the tongue in your mouth. It's not going to happen like some kind of a warm, fuzzy feeling. It's not going to happen just because you're solely baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's only going to happen if you do what God says and to devote yourself to prayer. Colossians 4:2, devote yourself to prayer and to pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. We need to pray without ceasing. We need to devote ourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Like he said in another book, he said to be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. We need to clear our minds of the things of this world. We need to clear our minds of our problems with our spouses, with our families, with our jobs. Clear your mind and discipline yourself as a disciple, a disciplined follower. That's what disciple means. Discipline yourself as a disciplined follower of Jesus Christ and get on your knees and pray. That's why it's good to get on your knees, because you're not going to get distracted and get up and moving around when you're chasing the carpet. Get on your knees and pray. Paul said, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father. It's a respectful thing to get down on your knees and pray. If you're so full of flesh that you can't discipline yourself, lock your bedroom door and shut the lights off and lay down on the bed. Pastor Nate, I'll fall asleep. Drink a cup of coffee before you do it. Stand up in your bedroom with the lights off so there's nothing to look at to distract you. Until you learn to quiet your mind and become disciplined where you don't have to do that anymore. And it will happen. 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. Let's start in let's start over here in verse 13. Verse 12. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil. I wouldn't say evil. We're talking about holy living here, my friends. That's why they don't like Christians. Because their actions are evil. Jesus said, this is the verdict. Light has come in the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. That's why they don't like the true Christians. They don't mind the false Christians that accept other gods because their deeds themselves are evil by partaking in the wicked work.
Amen.
But our deeds are not evil if we're living a holy life, and it makes them angry. They don't like it. Because it exposes their darkness and proves they're headed to hell if they don't repent. We don't want them to go there. He said, why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brothers were righteous. Do not be surprised, my brothers, if the world hates you. Do not be surprised, my brothers, that the world hates you. We know we've passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. I'm going to read you a couple other scriptures. John chapter 15, verse 18. Very quickly. Hallelujah, Jesus. Now, Jesus is instructing his disciples here. Verse 18, John 15. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, and I have chosen you out of the world. But I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember the words I spoke to you? No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. He's talking about the teaching of righteousness and holiness. That's why they're going to hate them. Because they're not part of the world. We practice holiness. They practice other things. And they don't like everything we represent. If they obey my teaching, they obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. They don't know him. They can claim they know him all they want, but they don't know him. If I had not come to speak with them, they would not be guilty of their sin. Now we're gonna jump on over to... He jumps back into this about persecution in verse 1 of chapter 16. All this I've told you so that you will not go astray. He's talking about the persecution. I'm warning you. So when it happens, you'll know that this is something I told you about. So it's not some new thing thinking you're doing something wrong. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he's offering a service to God. They will do such things because they've not known me or my Father. They've not known my Father or me. I have told you this so that when the time comes, you will remember that I warned you. Warned you. I did not tell you this at first because I was with you. Now, we need to stick to what is truth. In John 16, verses 12 to 15, he said, I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. The Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of himself. In other words, he's not going to speak anything contrary to the Bible. He's not going to make up some new revelation outside of the Bible. If it doesn't line up with the Word, he says he's not going to speak of himself. But whatsoever he hears, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. All things that the Father has are mine, therefore I say I, that he shall take of mine and show it unto you. In other words, he's making it very clear that the revelation that the Holy Spirit expounds on is not going to be some revelation outside of the Word. It's going to be according to the Bible. We have to stick with the book. Very strictly stick to the book. Amen? Got to do it. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 3, we're going to see this about persecution again when it comes to end times. 2 Timothy chapter 3. But mark this, there'll be terrible times in the last days. I wouldn't say last days. So the subject of this chapter, mainly, the main thought of this chapter, of chapter 3, is the last days, right? Now we already know we're in the last days. Jesus talked about when you see all these signs happening, raise up your head high, your redemption draws near. He said, look at the fig tree and all the trees. When you see the twigs get tender and the leaves come out, you know that summer is near. He said, even so, when you see these things happening, the signs that he described, the blood moons, all that stuff, he said, when you see these things happening, he said, you know that he, Jesus, is near, right at the door. It says it in your Bible, but it should have translated he. I don't know why they did that. He, Jesus, is near. He's right. He's looking down, ready to come. So we know the subject of this chapter. Again, I'm going to get this in your mind. This end times. There'll be terrible times in the last days. That's the end times. People be lovers of themselves. Sounds like today. Lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. That's a lot of your churches today. But also that's referring to denying Jesus, having a form of godliness but denying Jesus. Because it says in Colossians, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. He says, I have nothing to do with them. And then he goes on to some more details about them. But I want you to notice in verse 12, he's talking about end times. End times. Verse 12, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and imposters, everyone say imposters, will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. This pope has been prophesied, the 266th pope. It was prophesied approximately 1,000 years ago by, I believe it was an Irish monk. He said there will be 266 popes. There's been other people who've talked and prophesied that this last pope would be an evil, deceptive man. And he is exactly what they described. He's trying to bring the Catholic Church and all Christianity down by his very own power. Don't listen to anything he says. Don't have anything to do with him. Because anyone that has anything to do with other religions the way that he does, by accepting their faiths and trying to intermingle them, partakes of their wicked work. Watch out who you're following. Amen? Be on your guard. What are we supposed to do when persecution comes? Luke chapter 6 said to rejoice in that day and leap for joy. In fact, I'll read you just one thing and we'll wrap this up. Persecution is coming to the United States. It is a result of a judgment Listen very carefully. The judgment is coming on the United States because they are beginning to forsake God Almighty, the true God, and they're trying to intermingle Christianity, which this nation's principles were founded upon the Bible. They're starting to intermingle with other religions, and they're trying to tolerate sin and get everyone else to tolerate sin, to the point of putting it up as a pedestal on the front of the White House. Their perverted flag. Jesus said these words. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when all men hate you. When men hate you, and they exclude you, and they insult you and reject your name of evil because of the Son of Man. Now the Son of Man is Jesus. The Son of God came down here as a man to die for our sins. That's what he's talking about. Not accepting him as a prophet, that's not enough. You need to accept him as the sacrifice for your sins. He said, rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven, for that is how their fathers treated the prophets. Now listen very carefully. That's how they treated the prophets. They rejected them. They rejected the true men of God. Verse 24, but woe to you who are rich, you've already received your comfort. He's talking about those who find their pleasure in riches. That's they're content with just this world's way of doing things. Woe to you who are well fed now, you go hungry. There's nothing wrong with being well fed. He's talking about those who find their satisfaction in this world. Woe to you, laugh now. He's talking in regards to sin. For you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all men speak well of you. Who is deemed the man of the year? Pope Francis was deemed the man of the year. It's a sign of the times, my friend. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for that is how their fathers treated the false prophets. Be on your guard, because he is heading a new religion that mixes politics, the one that they keep telling not to mix religion with state. All of a sudden, our nation got real religious when the Pope came and started pushing his new agenda, didn't they? They got real religious all of a sudden. But when it comes to true Christianity, they don't want that. Be on your guard, my friends, against false prophets. Anybody who brings a message outside of the true and only truth that is found in your Bible, that Jesus is the Son of God and there is no other way. We cannot have any other gods, he said. Amen. We do not worship all the same God. Did you hear me? We do not. They will tell you, we worship the same God. And your mind's going to want to go, well, do we? I'm telling you, we don't. Because I'll tell you why we don't worship the same God. Because Jesus is God and they do not worship Jesus.
Amen.
I'll tell you why they don't believe in the same God. Because they don't believe Jesus is the Son of God and Jesus is God. And if they don't believe that Jesus is God and they don't worship Him as God, then they do not believe in our God.
Hallelujah.
They don't believe in the same God.
Amen.
Have your guard up. My recommendation to you is to gather your families together. Shut the TV off and start fasting and praying, because this deception is coming very quickly. Mm. Pastor Dan, that's your opinion. I'm telling you by the Holy Ghost, you ask my wife. I have predicted many things and they always come to pass. Just like I told her.
Amen.
That's a sign of a true prophet. You be on your guard against deception, because I'm telling you it's coming. And when it comes, they are going to start trying to push us into a corner and trying to force Christians to blaspheme. They're going to try to do things that are unheard of in this nation when it comes to freedom of religion. So be on your guard and be ready, because it's coming. And if it happens before the rapture, you need to be on your guard against it. And the only way you're going to stand up against the deception is to stick close to the flock. Don't be, if you're not in, when the flock gathers together 3 times a week, if you're not with the flock, you're wandering astray every single time. Oh no, I'm not, I had this and that to do. No, you didn't. If you didn't have a work schedule, you should be praying against your work schedule, working it out. We need to gather together all the more as we see the day approaching, it says. In Hebrews 10:25. He says, don't forsake the assembling yourselves together. It's very important to be together as a flock. Because the shepherd could take that staff and beat the devil off of you.
So you go back out there again.
He said, all the more as you see the day approaching, we need to gather together.
Now I got a feeling it's going to get bad enough, possibly before this rapture happens, which is going to happen very soon. I'm telling you, all this is going to happen very, very quickly.
We're going to get out of here.
Amen.
Well, as soon as it gets bad enough, he's going to pull us. This is it.
He said, my children, be on your guard. Be on your guard against all deception and all of those who are led by deceiving spirits, for there are many false prophets gone out into the world. Be on your guard. Have your guard up. Be wide awake. Be alert and continue to pray so you stay sensitive to that which I would speak to you. So you'd stay sensitive to the checks and the discernment that I place within your spirit so that you stand up against all deception. Remember that I have warned you continually in my word that those who live a godly life in me will be persecuted. So be ready. Be on your guard and be warned. Know that it is coming, and find your grace and confidence and boldness in me. For I have not given you a spirit of fear. I have not given you a spirit that makes you a slave, again a fear, but I have given you the spirit of sonship. And by my spirit you cry, Abba, Father, knowing that I am on the throne, knowing that I am your God, knowing that I am the Almighty, and I have everything under my control. For even the very hairs of your head are numbered. And do not be afraid, you are worth more than many sparrows. Yes, for if I look over those temporal things with such great diligence, how much do I watch over your souls as the great shepherd, the chief shepherd, the one who contains you. So remain in me, and I will remain in you. Abide in me, and I will abide in you. For those who do not abide in me are like a branch that is cast away and withers. But those who do remain in me, I prune so that they will become more fruitful. For I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. And those who remain in me will bear much fruit, fruit that will last to bring glory to my name. So continue in me. Continue in me and be confident and unashamed. Find grace and strength at my throne to empower you to stand up for that which is right. Rise up, O sleeper. Let my light shine upon you and be awake. Stand up for holiness and righteousness. Hate that which is evil. Cling to that which is good. And you will see that I will manifest my glory for you. Rejoice in the day that you are persecuted. If you are insulted because of my name, you are blessed, for the spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. So do not be afraid of their threats. Do not be frightened, but set me apart as your Lord and your spirits, and you will be sons of the Most High. You will be accounted worthy for my kingdom. For my kingdom will be set up upon this earth. My kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. My dominion is an everlasting dominion. And those who are accounted worthy by my name, those who stand up and put their faith in me, will rule and reign for eternity in my kingdom, says the Lord. So be bold, for I have given you my righteousness through my name, by my grace. I have made you righteous, and the righteous are as bold as a lion. So stand up. For your king is the lion of the tribe of Judah, and no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue that rises up against my children in judgment shall be condemned, says the Lord. So be confident and know that I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I am the Lord your God who shelters you. I am your shield. I am your buckler. I am your fortress. I am your refuge. I am your strength. I am your strong tower. I am your deliverer. I am your defender. I am your rock. And I am the God in whom you trust. I am your protection in these last days. So be not afraid, but be bold and stand up for that which is righteous. I tell you again to hate that which is evil, to cling to that which is good, and to fix your thoughts on me. For I am the author and the finisher of your faith. And I will see to it that those who keep their faith in me shall not be plucked out of my hand. Yes, those who have faith in me shall not be plucked from my Father's hand, for I and the Father are one. And I am in you, and you are in me, and we will walk together and bring this gospel to the earth in these last days. So stand up and be aware. Stand up and be alert. Stand up, be confident in spite of the things to come, for I have already warned you, and have I already told you that if they have persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they have received and obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. The reason that they treat you this way is because they have not known me or my Father. But you know me, and I know you. And I have made known to you my ways. I have called you by my name, and I have called you my friends. So remain in me, and I'll remain in you. And you will rejoice, for great is your reward in heaven. For that is the way they treated the prophets who were before you, says the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory be to God. Oh, Jesus, we love you. We exalt you, Jesus. We just thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Help us to stay closer than ever to you, Lord, in these days so that we are prepared for what is to come. Oh, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that shows us things to come. In Jesus' name, we worship you. We exalt you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Just lift up your hands for a moment and worship him. We worship you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. You are the Son of God. We confess that you are the Son of God, Jesus. We believe in you. We know that you're real. We know that you're true. And we know that you're with us and you will not forsake us.